session number 312, Miss Farnborough, Reel 3.
You, always it would be thou. Now, thou is a very difficult word to express in Russia, its meaning, because thou means the closest, most intimate, most affectionate terms. It's the closest intimacy when a young man and girl are engaged to be married. At once they begin to say thou. And that for each one of them means a special bond of intimacy between them. The mistress of her house would never say you to their servants. But that would be a different thing. That would show that she, as a mistress, would, in a way of speaking, be looking down on her domestic staff. And she could not possibly, in a way, raise them to the level of the mistress and master of the house. It's a very difficult thing to say, because it's very much like the Tsar when he's speaking to his people. He begins, we, the Tsar of all the Russias, we, always in the first person plural. And so always the personal pronouns meant a very, very great deal to the Russian families. And during the war, the same thing happened. No doctor would say to a young recruit of the rank and file, you. Always it would be thou. And therefore, there was perhaps a very great, tremendous upheaval among the rank and file when it was known that they could be spoken to as you after the reforms in the army, which were brought about by Kerensky, the Minister of War, in 1917.
This is the form «вы». «Как вы поживаете?» «Вы», that's the you
вы.
Form.
«Как вы поживаете?» Yes.
Which Kerensky introduced, well, insisted on. How did that affect you, addressing your colleagues during the war?
I don't think it made any difference, because we always said thou to each other. Always. I don't think that we did it to all the male personnel, but in general, our sisters, we were always saying thou to each other. And that was because we were sisters, belonging to the sisterhood of the Red Cross. And so quickly did we get to know each other, and our way of life and our way of thinking, that we really became very intimate. We could sense each other's feelings. We knew exactly what each one would do in a certain crisis. And having lived together for 3.5 years and lived together under such extraordinary and tragic circumstances, we grew very close to each other. In fact, one might say we were probably enjoying a sisterhood that is seldom, if ever, known since then.
How did you address the patients, and how did they address you?
With the patients, we always addressed as you. If we got to know some young patients, or if they were very young children for anything, as for example, they would always be thou. But the soldiers in general, we had no time to think of any form of intimacy. We were always glad to address them. For us, they were heroes. Always the men who we cleaned and bandaged and dressed and fed and washed. They were for us great heroes, because they had come straight from the fighting line where they'd been fighting for their Tsar and their country, and they had been wounded for them. And so we always paid the greatest respect to them, and they were worthy of it in every way.
How did they address you?
Always with the you, always. And always with the most wonderful courtesy, if you please, may it be to your liking, and always very charming ways of phrasing their sentences. And very often they would call us not only sestritsa, which means little sister, sestra, of course, is the ordinary word for sister, but they would always call us little sister, a term of endearment which meant a great deal for us. And also they would call us sometime Maya Radnaya. Radnaya means my own one, belonging to my home.
Now, if we can go back before the war again, was your life precisely the same as your two Russian sisters? Did you go everywhere with them and join in the social activities as well?
Yes, I joined in all their social activities, and it wasn't difficult because they accepted me straight away, right from the very first day, as one of the families. Where they went, I went. If they had seats in the opera or seats for concerts, there would be a seat for me. I don't think we were ever parted in any way, nor was there any barrier between us as regards our nationality. They were a wonderful family. I think there were many such families in Russia, because the Russians have had a great respect for England and for English people. And I only know that the mere fact that I was English was an open sesame to their hearts and their homes. And I shall never forget the extraordinary kindness and the tremendous hospitality that surrounded me always when I was with my Russian friends. I don't think I could have lived longer in Russia had it not been for these friends of mine, because now, as I think of it, they gave me their home. They sheltered me. When I was with them, they fed me. They did everything to make me feel that I was one with them and at home with them. And it's always a very wonderful thought for me that I was fortunate enough to come across these great-hearted, warm-hearted people who could so accept me, a complete stranger and foreigner, into their own family circle.
How much were you paid?
As regards salary, I don't quite think I can remember. I don't think it was very much, because as far as money is concerned, it never occurred to me that I had to earn very much money. What I wanted more than anything else was the affection and friendship of those with whom I lived. And that, of course, far amounted to things which had any monetary value in them at all. For me, they made life happy, they made life possible, and they taught me a tremendous lot about a wonderful new country and a wonderful new people.
Was their attitude towards servants, domestic servants, any different from those you had known in England or in Austria?
No, I don't think there was much difference. I must say in England they were paid better, but then one must not forget the domestic staff in England was of a different standard of education. There were very few in those days who could not read and write. But the domestics in Russia were principally quite illiterate, without any education at all. They were drawn from the peasant class. They were very willing, very able, and always tried to fall in with the wishes of the people who employed them. But there was no doubt about it. They were very simple, uneducated, unenlightened people. I don't think that had anything to do with their characters. They were very honest, very truthful, very moral. And I cannot speak highly enough about the young men and the young girls who were employed by my various friends and families.
Were the peasants on their country estates the same people, basically, as the domestic servants in town?
No, they were not the same. Those in the country places were much more, curiously enough, they were much more illiterate, because quite apart from the fact that their daughters or their sisters were living in the town, it would be quite understandable to realize that town life in itself would teach them a tremendous lot, and little by little, quite unwittingly, they would be able to read the names over the shops and understand what the kind of wares which were on display or available in those shops, whereas in the country, nothing of that was possible. And I'm quite sure that any peasant girl or boy who would come to a big city like Kiev or Brest or Minsk or Moscow, St. Petersburg, they would at once become quite unwittingly semi-educated, because the life itself would teach them. And in many cases I have known the heads of family who would make special arrangements for their domestic staff to be educated, to be taught to read and write. Asya and Nadia, my sisters, my Russian sisters, often gave lessons to young peasants who were working for them and to our servants in the house.
The whole family eat and travel and take part in activities together, or was it very much you and the girls, or you and the girls and the mother, separate from the father?
So principally the mother, Nadia, Asya and I. We used to go out very often together, and we used to go to parties together, and we used to entertain together. It was really a very wonderful friendship. Pavel Sergeyevich, the doctor, of course, had his own duties, and he was off very early in the morning, and very often the telephone was going and calling him here and there, because he was quite famous as a heart specialist. And then he would arrange to go to see many of his friends at quite a distance from Moscow, because they called him here and there, knowing him so well, and realizing what tremendous talent and ability he had.
Did you find the position of women different in Russia from that we'd known in England?
No, I didn't. It might have been amongst the peasant women, because there, I must say, the peasant women mostly were engaged in work which normally men in England would be doing. That is to say, cultivating the fields, guiding the plough, attending to the horses and the animals, and even helping to build their own huts. But in the big cities, it was quite different. The ladies were very much looked up to.